Romans chapter 15, verses 22 through 33. I think go to Judges. And it's not as bad as it sounds. That book, I mean, it's really a pretty good book. There's some good lessons in it. So turn to Romans chapter 15, verses 22 through 33. I'll read it in a minute. Last week, Paul talked about his ambition. His ambition was to preach the gospel. That's what he lived for. In Philippians, he said, "For me to live is Christ." I mean, that's a for young people, as you are advancing in your Christian life, that would be a great question to ask yourself. For me to live is fill in the blank. Because the world has tons of things that are going to attract you away from probably the thing you ought to be living for. Doesn't mean you have to be a preacher. Doesn't mean you have to be a missionary. Doesn't mean you have to. But I think it does mean you need to make a choice. For me to live is Christ. So Paul's ambition was to preach the gospel. His ministry was a priest to the Gentiles. That's what we talked about last week. This week we're going to talk about Paul's plans and God's providence. It's kind of funny that we're saying about God's sovereignty. I mean, there's this whole kind of dilemma that I have in life about making plans and seeing how God changes that or uses that sometimes. I mean, I came down here. We moved down here to go to seminary. I was, you know, on my way to become, I thought, a professor. Well, all of a sudden I realized what it took to be a professor and all of the studying and a dissertation, like big, thick book that you'd have to write. And I'm like, you know, I'm not into writing big, thick books. But when I look back at why or how God might have really used that desire to go to seminary and how it has changed is kind of interesting. But that's what Paul's going to talk about, his plans, and then about God's providence. Let me read, if you read along with me, and I'll start back in verse 19 because it's kind of connected. I'll start in 18 because that's where the sentence begins. Verse 18, "For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And thus I aspire to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, that I might not build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, they who had no news shall see him, and they who have not heard shall understand. For this reason I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now, with no further place for me in these regions, and since I have had for many years a longing to come to you, whenever I go to Spain, I hope to see you in passing, and to be helped on my way there by you, when I have first enjoyed your company for a while. But now I am going to Jerusalem serving the saints, for in Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. Therefore, when I have finished this and have put my seal on this fruit of theirs, I will go on my way to you to Spain. And I know when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints, so that I may come to you in joy and by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." It's kind of interesting. In the end of the letter, Paul is pretty much summing up what he started in the beginning of the letter in chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. Apparently, this must have been a kind of a bone of contention, I guess, to the church in Rome. They really wanted him to come. And he kept being hindered by that. And so he explains it kind of in the beginning of the book. He's almost apologizing. He says in chapter 1, verse 9, For God, whom I serve in the Spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness, and to how unceasingly I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. It's almost like, this is a God thing. I'm not ignoring you. I've been hindered. He doesn't really explain why or how, but he's saying to the church in Rome, you know, I've wanted to come, and I will come to you, and I'm praying about you, or praying for you. For I long to see you in order that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So he starts the book saying to the people in Rome, I'm coming to see you. You know, and I've longed to see there, to be there in that church. I mean, it was, you know, Rome was like the center of the biggest world empire ever, right? I mean, I guess they might look at us now as one of the biggest world empires. But at that point, I mean, this was like, you get Rome, you convert Rome, you're going to convert the empire. Almost, you know. So that Paul's saying, you know, I want to be there. I long to see you guys, and I hear about you, and I'm praying for you. And now he ends the letter almost in this same thing, and he says to them, "Okay, I'm going to come to you on my way to Spain." It's almost like Paul is saying in this thing where, in verse 19, it says, "I'm going to boast only of what Christ has accomplished," and with signs of, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. It's almost, he's been doing this, some people think, for about 20 years. I mean, and young people, when you're starting out, I mean, I remember when I first graduated from college and this, I was asked to go to a seminar in investments in retirement. And I'm thinking, retire? You know, I mean, you don't think of that. When you're 22, you're not thinking about retirement. You're trying to figure out what you want to be and do. But it comes very, very fast, you know. And what Paul is saying here is, man, I am done. He's almost saying, like, goal accomplished. I have fully preached the gospel. And it's like this whole region now, from Jerusalem, from Judea to Illyricum, which is Yugoslavia. And if you, I'll draw a map in a minute in your mind. But it's like the whole region, he's now done. And I'm going to head to Rome. I'm done. It's like, he, you know, if he lived in today's world, he could be saying, man, it's been 20 years. I'm ready to retire. I'm going to kick back and play golf. Or invent golf. He would have had to invent golf. But, I mean, he was done. It's over. It's over. This one commentary I was reading talked about the difference between a vocation and an avocation, I think, and a calling. You know, I have a vocation. You know, I have a couple jobs. But one of them is working for this architect, and, you know, that's kind of my job. But you know what? We have a bigger calling than that. That's where God has me right now. And that's where I hope he uses me right now. And here, I mean, that's my other job. But then there's our calling. What God calls us to do. And you know what? I don't think you ever retire from that. And I don't know if I told this story. When I first was thinking about going to seminary, I mean, that's a big step. You know, I mean, I was like, whoa, you know, what are my friends going to think? What are my family going to think? So I talked to two pastors. One was this Doc Latham, who started Awana Clubs. That started in the basement of Diane's church, actually. And you know why the Awana Circle is the size it is? That's how big the basement was. It went from wall to wall. That's how they... Yeah, it's kind of weird. Anyway, I said, Doc, can I have lunch with you? And so I went out to have lunch with him, and I said, Doc, I'm thinking about going to seminary. Everybody called him Doc. What do you think about how did you feel about getting into the ministry? What was your calling? He said, well, he was playing a piano at this, it was a tent revival meeting in Chicago that was supposed to last 3 weeks, and it lasted 3 years. Literally, it was, I forget the name of the guy that ran it. But, God used it for a lot of people to get saved in Chicago. He said, when it was over, this group of people came to me and said, would you be our pastor? And he said, I wasn't doing anything else, so I said, yes. And I'm like, that's it? There was no, go do this. There was no big revelation. He goes, no. So I have lunch with another pastor. And I said, and the contrast was amazing. Because this was a younger guy, and when I was talking to Doc, he was just sitting there eating his ice cream and made no big deal out of it. And when I had another one, Dick Sisson, I remember the guy's name, and I said, Dick, how did you feel? What was your, the thing that you knew you were supposed to go into the ministry? And he stopped, and he put down his knife and fork, and it became this really holy moment, and he said, you have to feel the call. And I didn't. It was like, did you talk to Doc, about his, because they worked in the same church. It was the same, and it was just like, so I kind of went with Doc, because, don't expect God to just, I'm not Paul, and I'm not Moses, and I'm not, but as believers, we need to understand you are called. The minute you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're in the war. You're part of the family, and you're called. And I don't think we ever are going to retire from that. Commercial, okay. This is another aside about that party up in Chicago. That a couple hundred people come to this house to say goodbye to Lois. And there were times we wanted to start a church up there and, out of her Bible studies. And she was like, no, because I think she would have felt restricted. Because if we would have started a church, she would have stepped down. Because she thought men needed to lead the church and wouldn't be the head. Everybody wanted her to be the head. It was like weird. But I'll tell you, she led so many people to the Lord. It is unbelievable that one person and could lead that many people. And she just had this knack of looking someone in the eye and telling them that if they don't trust the payment for their sin in Christ Jesus, they're on their way to hell. Most people wouldn't take that. She had a knack for looking people right in the eye. And the commercial of this is, I pray that young people, you get a chance someday, and all of us, to lead somebody to Christ. There is nothing like it. And I thought about that when I was sitting there. We really need to be praying for that, that you guys get a chance. You don't have to be, pounding on everybody's door. But when God gives you the opportunity, when God brings somebody in your life, open your mouth, trust them. He will put the words in your mouth. And I really pray that you get a chance to do that, because there's nothing like it. Back to Paul. So he's at the end of his life. And he's kind of like saying, I've had my ministry, I've worked hard, the region has been reached for Christ, and so now I'm gonna come to you, I don't know what Rome thought about that, the church in Rome. They're like, oh, now that he's done, he's coming to see us. It's kind of weird. And we don't really know if he ever got to Spain. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me... and when, you know, sometimes, kind of like at the end of our careers, we start thinking, man, it is time to kick back. You know, it is time to... I'm worn out. I'm a little tired. Listen to what Paul went through. If you think there's a guy that could have said, I'm done, and I'm going to put my feet up and retire, it would have been him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, this is what Paul says. He's talking about these people that were boasting about who they were and what they had accomplished. And Paul says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if I'm insane. I more so. In far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in death, danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 and a day I spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, in dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers from city, dangers from the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among the brethren. I have been in labor and hardship, through sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food and in cold and exposure. This isn't a way to get people recruitment. You know, this like it's like, you get to do this. If anybody could have said, you know, I read that and I'm thinking, you know, working, traveling a little bit on a plane and having, ain't so bad. You know, it's not so bad. I've never been beaten, never been, you know, if anybody had the chance to say, I'm going to rest, it would have been Paul. But at the end of Romans, he's saying, man, I can't wait to get there and have some, you know, interaction with you guys, and we can establish each other and enjoy each other's faith, and I can't wait. And he says, I long to see you. And when I head to Spain, what's interesting is when he says, I'm going to come to you, but first I got to go to Jerusalem. Paul wrote this book in Corinth, and if you kind of imagine a map up here, here's Italy, the boot, you know, right? Everybody knows the boot. And then there's I think it's the Aegean Sea, is that right? I don't know. Between Italy and what is? Yeah, whatever. Well, Corinth is like right here. Here's Rome, here's Corinth, and here's Jerusalem. And Paul's saying, I'm going to come and see you. Go that way. But first, I got to go back this way, to Jerusalem. You know, and I think he's just telling the Romans, you know, if you hear that I'm heading in the opposite direction, don't think I'm running from you, or I'm afraid to go to Rome, or I'm afraid of Nero, or I'm afraid of the Roman Empire. But I got to go back to Jerusalem. Now, when you just read what happened to him in Jerusalem by the Jews, you're like, Paul, what are you thinking? You know, what are you thinking? And he says, but I have to go back to Jerusalem because the Gentiles have taken a collection. And for the poor in Jerusalem, you know, in the early church, it was persecuted. People were in trouble. I mean, there was a lot of, one commentary I read, a lot of poor people were drawn to the Christian faith, and they were in Jerusalem. They were being persecuted and in trouble. So the Gentiles all around in Corinth and the Greek Empire took an offering and said, "Would you guys send this money back to Jerusalem for us?" Which, folks, this is like unheard of, really, that the Gentiles would even care. You know, but Paul says, "But you know what?" Yes, they were pleased to do so. It wasn't like Paul went to them and said, man, Jerusalem is in trouble and they need money. It says they were pleased to do so. They were indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister also to them in material things. It's interesting that you just talked about the Newports. I got to tell you, that's my phone. Somebody hit it. I purposely did that so that it wouldn't... I was going to put it on vibrate. It was supposed to be on vibrate. Sorry. Where was I?
Newports.
You got to think about, what do we owe them? You know, and I'm not going to twist your arms. I don't like, you know, I'm not asking for money for them. But you ought to think about it. You ought to think about it. They need money to leave on this last push, you know, and you feel like you don't have much money, that might be the time to give. And this is the way Diane and I give. I have three principles on giving. You need to give regular, you need to give generously, and you need to give happily. If it's 50 cents and you're happy and it's generous and it's regular, that's good. If it's 50,000 and you're happy and you're generous and it's regular, that's what it takes. Okay? You ought to be happy to give it. This is great. Think about that for the Newports. The other thing I'm thinking about when I thought about Paul going back to Jerusalem into trouble. Early on in my Christian life, I met a missionary. I don't even remember their first name. Their last name was Learneds. It's kind of a weird name. And they were with New Tribes. New Tribes is like, they used to call it the Marine Corps of Christianity. These people are serious. You know, they have a boot camp, and that's what Diane's parents were. Diane grew up in a grass hut, well, grass roof, dirt floor, in the jungle. Not a pretty jungle, an ugly jungle. And so I met a lot of these missionaries that were with New Tribes, and I was a young believer, and this guy is telling me about his mission. And they were in Colombia. Drug lords and everything. And the last time he was there, he said he was arrested for murder, for killing a dog. There was a dog that got into their compound, and he was going to hit it with a board and on its butt. And as he swung, the dog turned around and he hit him in the head, and the dog died. Well, the local people who were the New Tribes missionaries were trying to get people to grow corn instead of cocaine, arrested him. And it was trouble. I mean, when they went down the river, they were being shot at. And so, make a long story short, I said, so you're not going back, right? And he looked at me like, of course I'm going back. I'm like, to this day, that shocks me. That there are missionaries that go into places that, you know, deserve our money and deserve our support. And if you're called to do that, that's a good thing. I mean, when you meet these people that are just so sold out, he looked at me like I was a nut. When I was looking at him like he was a nut for going back to the, you know, he was like, of course, this is where God wants me. To this day, I don't know whatever happened. I mean, they went back, and he brought his family back there, his kids, and into Colombia, and thought, no, I mean, it was like Paul going back to Jerusalem, no big deal. But in the end, when Paul was headed there, he did ask the Church of Rome, at the end of this portion of Scripture, he said in verse 28, let me read it through the end. Therefore, when I have finished this and have put on my seal of this fruit of theirs, I will go on my way to you on my way of you to Spain. And I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. And I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So he's headed back to Jerusalem, but he says, man, I need you guys to pray. You know, when the Newports go off to France, isn't that where they're going? Probably not that might not be Colombia, but, they're not super open to Christianity, and it's we're just waiting for the good news, you know. This is not going to be an easy thing, and they're going to be by themselves. You know, that's one of the worst things about being a missionary, apparently, is this whole feeling like you're just out there by yourself. So Paul says, I need you guys to pray your prayers to God for me. And here's what he asked for. He asked for two things and has one goal. First thing he asked for, that I may be delivered from those who are disobedient in Judea. I'm headed back to Rome, to Jerusalem, and it's a little scary. The Jews want my head. You know, those were the guys that beat him. It says he received how many lashings? 39 lashings from the Jews, five times or something like this. And I'm going back. It's like this learned guy says, of course I'm going back to Colombia. That's where God called me. And Paul says, but I really need you to pray that I am delivered from the people, from the Jews in Jerusalem. And then he says, and I also want you to pray that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints. That the money he's bringing, the Jews would accept, and that it would help. Okay, those were his two prayers. So, sometimes when we think about giving and we think, oh, I'm just giving a little bit, God can use a little bit, you know. It's really about your heart and not so much about the amount. It's really about our heart. And I think that's what Paul is saying here, that they would just accept what the Gentiles are giving them. And that it would just encourage the Jews in Jerusalem. And then he says, so that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. And he concludes, now the God of peace be with you all. In this one little chapter, when he talks about God, and he said in verse 5 of this chapter, it says, now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind of one another according to Christ Jesus. When he looks at God and he says, Father, I need perseverance. It's not that Paul, Paul was a person just like us. I'm sure going back to Jerusalem was a little scary. I'm sure for that missionary going back to Colombia, there was some fear. But God is a God of perseverance, Paul says in verse 5, and encouragement. That all through life, there's going to be uphill battles. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be times when you wonder, is God really there? And Paul says, he's a God of encouragement and perseverance. Just hold on, because you know who's holding on to you. And then he also says in the end of, in verse 13, this is the verse that I went to Atlanta with, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. And then in the end of this chapter, he says, now the God of peace be with you all. All of those things, perseverance and encouragement and hope and peace, are not a lot of things the world offers. But God does. And that's his character. And when people say, the Muslims and us worship the same God. No, we don't. We worship a God of perseverance and encouragement and hope and peace.
And when you think about, and I don't want to get into the whole history of what happened to Paul when he went back there, but Paul's prayer was that he would be delivered from the Jews in Jerusalem. Question, was he? Nope. How did he get to Jerusalem? How did he get to Rome? Under arrest. The Jews took him. Paul appealed to the Roman Empire. If you remember, he appealed to the Roman Empire. I'm a Roman citizen, you know. And they took him and they said, okay, we're going to try you in Rome. Well, I don't know the exact sequence, but in essence, the very thing Paul prayed for was that he would be delivered from the Jews. Didn't happen. I mean, now, hindsight, looking back at this, you're like, but he did make it to Rome, and God did use it. You know, that's how God got him there. Got kind of like a free ride and free housing. You know, I mean, he didn't have to raise money. Rome took care of him. I mean, he was in prison for 2 years, and he was in prison in Rome. And Paul's like, and not only that, but the guards got saved. I mean, people that were handcuffed to him got to hear the gospel. I mean, they couldn't get away from him. You know, it's like on the plane. It's like being on the plane and people are like, oh man, you got to sit next to the guy if he's starting to witness to you. But when you think about his very prayer, to be delivered wasn't answered the way he thought it would be. So when you think about your plans and you think about our plans as a church and you think about, I'm like 56, and it's like, what do I got? So if you retire at the you can't coast to the end. You know what I mean? There's almost more important things to do now. And maybe somebody, when I was 30 in that little church and thought I knew, like, a lot, I think I learned a lot more since then about who God is and really who I am. And then when we start making our plans as a church, I think we can play. It was interesting. I wish the young people were here in the meeting because we're talking about, okay, do we rent this building for another 6 months or do we do it by a month-to-month basis? Okay, so in this church, there's going to be people on one side and people on the other side. And I sat there last week and thinking to myself, you know what? It takes faith on both parts. We're either taking it by faith that God wants us here for 6 months, and if the worst happened and we got 400 people in here and couldn't fit anymore, I guess we'd have to just pay off the, whatever. But it also, if we're here on a month-to-month basis and some, other group comes in here and offers the guy more money, he may take it and kick us out. Then where would we be? I think we what'd you say? Yeah. We already have plans, so it's no big deal, It has a fireplace, it's really cool. The point of this thing is make plans and trust God. Make plans and trust God. And watch him work in spite of us. Whichever way we decide on this thing, if you're on one side and we vote the other way, we got to stay together on this thing. It's okay. It's okay. And it'll be fun. It'll be fun to watch how God works. This end of this is about Paul's plans and God's providence. He prayed to be delivered, and it seems like just the opposite happened. And God still used it. So when we think about this, I mean, this summer, you guys, I think when I look ahead to the you guys teaching the GED and I looked at that schedule and I'm thinking a whole summer 2 days a week. Oh, no. Maybe that's where God wants us, because we're not going to be able to pull this off on our own. This is God. God's got to do something. And I talked to Amato Lozano yesterday. He's coming tonight, today, to the picnic. And I said to him, I said, you know, could some of these people that you know maybe come and help? He says, yeah, I think so. So, I mean, we need to really think about this summer thing. And it is a big project. It is a big thing for a little church. But, man, we got to think and watch what God might do. I'm done with that part. So I'm going to turn this off because I want to tell you